praise the Lord and greetings in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. I am Pastor Johnny Magnus coming to you from Mount Calvary Miracle Temple at 1004 North Osage in Okmulgee, Oklahoma, zip code 74447. As usual, I'm just very glad to be here with you on this morning, this fine Tuesday morning. Amen. Again, we're bringing the Bible class early because it suits my schedule better to do it this way since it's virtual. It allows anybody who wants to look at it anytime they desire. Amen. And today we're going to continue the message from Sunday. I'm calling this It's Simple, the Bible class version. In other words, it gives me the opportunity to explain things a little bit more in detail than what I'm able to do on Sunday morning. I want to say I just thank God for the saints of Mount Calvary. Amen. You all are special. You really are. I think to myself, I ought to quit saying this as much as I do because maybe it doesn't resonate as well, but it's just the truth. I love our saints. Amen. I love the leadership we have here with the ministers and deacons that the Lord have blessed us with here. And while we don't have a great number of folk, those that are here really love the Lord. And in my eyes, it appears that you really want to serve the Lord and do what's right. And so God is so good. And we just hope to continue. I want to encourage you to witness. Amen. The Facebook page is a witnessing tool. Amen. It is a method by which we can witness. So whenever our ministers are teaching or preaching, we encourage you to always share, to like and share. But let yourself get excited about the word and tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord, what he's done in your life. And when you share something with them out of your excitement, out of your experience, it will draw souls to come to the Lord. All right. And now, Mount Calvary, we need to concentrate on when the souls come, because God will save them. We need to concentrate on keeping them. Amen. Praying and asking the Lord to give us what it takes to keep the souls. So this morning, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 1-3. And then I'm going to read some bullet points I was not able to read on Sunday morning. All right. And Paul says here, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Now, before getting into that, I want to read the introduction bullet points to give you an understanding of where we're actually going. So many are bringing complexities into what should be easy to understand and easily relayed. And the reason for the complex nature of some, and I'm just listing a few things here to give you an idea of why some make the word of God so complex, all right? They don't know what they're talking about. So they dress it up, make it sound rich, but it's all just stuffing. And so, you know, some folk, they just make it up as they go. There's no real concern for relaying salvation, relaying the power of God. It's just, I want to be in a position to preach or to teach or to look like I know what I'm talking about. And I'll use certain words or phrases that make it sound like it's right. But really what they're passing on to people is not salvation, it's confusion, all right? They do not know what salvation is, can't tell you how to get there, so filibuster rules the day. And I was reminded in this the same thing as, you know, our political climate in this nation has become tenuous at best. It's a lot of agitation, a lot of anger and everything. And whenever you talk to somebody who is really hyped up emotionally and they're charged up with anger and everything like that, and it doesn't matter which side of politics that they go for, usually when you talk to someone like that, they're vehemently against your candidate, okay? And they have more to say about how bad your candidate is than they have to say about how good their candidate is. And so when you ask them, what about your candidate? What is it you like about your candidate? Well, they have nothing to say, and they talk in circles and again, just make it up as they go, because they're so charged up. They're mainly charged up with anger, towards the other candidate, that they can tell you everything that they believe is wrong with that one, but they can't tell you what the policies are, what the good is about their candidate. We can't be people who are just charged up emotionally, full of zeal, and talking about, I hate the devil, I hate the devil. Well, but what can you tell me about God? I mean, when you want me to be saved, what can you tell me about salvation? And so I have come into contact with people in my life that go to various different churches with some big names. And it was not my intent to make them look bad or anything like that. I wanted to know where they stood. And so I asked, how do you define salvation? How do you get saved? And they just flat out couldn't tell me, but they could tell me every operation of the church and how the pastor does things this way and that way, which according to the operation that they talked about sounded good to me, but the operation of the church can't save me. And so this has happened more than once where I've talked to people and they're charged up about the place where they go to church, and they're so geared up and happy about where they're going, and they're ready to submit to you that any other place is not worthy to attend, but they can't tell me how to be saved. Saints, we can't be that kind, all right? They can't just simply tell you what the Bible says about salvation, and they will go into, again, things about the church. They will tell you about books that they have read about some big name evangelists or pastors and things like that. But again, that makes things complex. If I'm a person who needs to be saved, you still aren't telling me how to be saved. Saints, we have to know our word. We have to know how to give. The people that are not yet with us, they're a part of us, but they're not with us yet. They're supposed to be with us, but they need to be drawn in. What are we going to draw them in with? We've got to have the Word of God, and it's got to be simple enough for them to understand. All right, C, they are introducing another doctrine not of Christ and must use fancy jargon, cliches, high-sounding words to confuse the matter to make themselves look as though they know what they're talking about. So they were talking circles, and it always comes back to them and what they are doing, but it's not about Jesus. And they introduce another doctrine because they don't know Jesus. And another doctrine is that which is outside of godliness. It seems parallel to godliness. It seems parallel to the Bible. It doesn't really sound, if you're just listening with a fleshly ear and you've read some of the Bible, it sounds like it's right on target or not that far off. But I don't want something that sounds like it's on target or sounds like it's not that far off. I want something that is the Word. And so by them introducing another doctrine, it's confusion. It is complexity, because when the soul needs to be saved, the soul doesn't need to have to dig through all of that other minutia, all that other stuff. The soul just needs to be able to get to God. All right. Good to see you, daughter. Amen. D, In the case of those that's in it for themselves preaching prosperity, if they were to allow the simplicity of Christ, they shall be out of business, all right? They make up prescriptions, almost incantations for those would-be followers to bypass Christ and concentrate on them as they become the object, not God. So if I'm a prosperity preacher, again, I'm going to bring your concentration on me because that's how I can get you to give me what I want. All right. Now, I tell you it's about Jesus, but really I am becoming your Jesus to you because I'm wanting what you can give me. And if I share true salvation with you, then I cannot get what I want out of your pockets. All right. And so in the case of those that's just preaching prosperity, amen, if they teach the simplicity of Jesus Christ, in other words, telling you to keep your mind on Jesus, to set your affections on things above. He whose mind is stayed on him, he shall keep them in perfect peace. If I tell you that you must live holy, you got to get in prayer and seek the Lord and ask him what his will is for you in your life. Well, then his will for you in your life is not for you to come and give me $1,000 every time I ask for it. It's not for you to concentrate on things that I say, but it's to concentrate on the things that the Lord is saying. So if I'm in it for prosperity, if I'm in it for my own wealth, then I can't teach you the simplicity of Christ Jesus and make it simple. I got to keep it confusing. I got to keep it complex because I got to keep your mind always working where you can't concentrate on the things of God. Look, y'all, the enemy ain't playing. And somebody might be sitting there when they hear me say this, say, oh, he's just, talking out of the side of his neck. He don't know what he's talking about. Look, the devil got all kind of avenues he uses to distract us, to deviate us from the word of God. All right, next bullet point. In the case of Catholicism, they deviate from the simplicity because they know not salvation, nor do they care to. They love the complexity of ceremony, pomp, and circumstance, worship of dead saints and Mary. Instead of repent and be baptized, they require the complexity of taking classes to learn their dogma. You know, in Catholicism, it's all about the church. It's all about becoming Catholic. It's not about becoming a part of the kingdom. It's not about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's all about becoming a part of the church. So you have to take these tedious classes to learn how to become a Catholic, not to learn how to be saved. That's complexity to the soul because the soul is geared to serve the Lord, all right? Now, once you start weighing the soul down with all of this complex stuff, then it gets confused. And then at some point, it may begin to believe, hey, what you're teaching me is exactly right, and this is where I'm going to be. Now, some would say, well, you shouldn't be calling out Catholicism. Look, it is the only religious organization that you will hear me calling out because its origins were wrong. Its continuance has been wrong. Its doctrine continues to be wrong, and it's leading people into hell, into damnation. And I feel a responsibility to let folks know that when you are in a situation where you have idol worship, when you're in a situation where they tell you you can pray to people who have died and gone to the grave and expect results from them, that means you are putting them in the place of being mediators on your behalf. They put Mary in a position of being a deity and a mediator between man and God. Mary does not have that position or stipulation. Neither does anyone else who has died and gone to the grave. Only he whose name is Jesus, who rose from the grave, amen, he is the mediator between God and man. The blood of Jesus is the mediator between God and man, and nobody else and nothing else. And so And they used the word venerate here not that long ago. Well, it's been a few years. They brought the bones of a 12, 13-year-old girl to Tulsa for Catholics to venerate because she was sainted by the Catholic Church because as she was being brutalized and murdered, she asked the Lord to forgive the individual doing that to her. And that's high praise for anybody to be able to live on that level, to ask the Lord to forgive their victimizers while they're victimizing you. All right. That's very Christ-like. However, I don't care how good that young lady was, even in dying, we don't venerate. The word venerate is clearly worship, all right? You can switch the words up and use synonyms, but it's still worship. And we don't worship bones. So they brought the bones of that girl so that Catholics could come to the place where the bones were to worship the bones. People of God, we got to know to keep it simple. Jesus is Lord. And we worship and we serve him. Amen. We depend on his power and we don't bring in the confusion and complexities of idol gods and anything that we set up, any image that we're not even to make an image of God himself. We don't set up images of any type. So here in this church, you're not going to see us setting up no images across the pulpit area for people to be confused, like, well, what's that a statue of, and who is that right there, and what should I know about this one? We don't do that. We just serve the Lord. All right. Now, next bullet point. Of course, you have the egomaniacs who cannot resist the opportunity to put self on display. They'll use vocabulary beyond their own intellect, speak on subject matters not natural to them, to sell themselves as someone to be respected and admired. When, in fact, those who preach Christ must decrease as Christ increases. Robbing the glory belonging to God is a factor in complexities added to a simple gospel. So you know, I hope that was simple enough to understand, but some people are so desirous to be viewed in a certain way, they would rather use words and phrases. They would rather take a theological, philosophical stand in things that they say to put the concentration on them so that people can tell them how great they are. And they're taking the focus off of Jesus Christ. They're taking the focus off of the blood of Jesus Christ. They're taking the focus off of salvation and making it about them. Those complexities people do not need, and we do not need to fill the souls of people with this kind of stuff. Now, last one. Now, you have those that have been set up by those with itching ears. Some felt the true gospel preaching was too simple and needed something more suited to their, can I do this right here, to their level of intellect. So they must have someone with a high degree who must bring forth with evidence of that educational level. Therefore, the hearer can tout to the world, not Jesus, but that they go to a church where Dr. Divine Divinity of the Sacred Cloth performs, I mean, preach. Y'all, the Bible says these things. Don't y'all get mad at me because I'm just repeating it. But the Bible says they have itching ears and they heap to themselves teachers. They have itching ears because they don't want to hear sound doctrine. And so now, sometimes church becomes about elitism. It becomes about, I go to such and such church. Ooh, you go over there? Oh, I'm not high class enough to go over there. But one day when I start making enough money and I get enough education, I can go over there too. Or some people just go. I remember Pastor F.M. Henderson used to talk about that, went to, I guess, visit, somebody's church. And the people were really into the big words that were being used, by the preacher. And it's not that the preacher was at fault for using big words, but some of the people who went were only there because of how it made them feel. They thought they were part of something of high intellect, and they liked being a part of something like that. But look, you always gonna have people who go to church and they have their own reasons that don't consist of salvation for going. But as long as the preachers, as long as the ministers and the deacons and the leaders in the church do not put on airs to present something that is not Christ-like, we're in a good way. And eventually somebody who's coming for the wrong reason, they will begin to be there for the right reason, because they understand that it's just the Spirit of Christ in the place and he is the one to be served. All right, now getting back to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." All right. And as I said on Sunday, the desire to ignite the intellect goes as far as the surface, but has a very bad side effect. In other words, when you could read a scripture and explain it to people a little bit, but then if your desire is to wax philosophical and to show off your vocabulary, well, what you're doing now, you're pushing out the good that was in the word, and you're pushing it out and pushing you in, and that's no good, all right? And so that doesn't just go for the preacher behind the pulpit. That goes for the person witnessing. That goes for the person who is talking to a family member. A family member has approached you. You know, they have an issue in their life, and they recognize you as someone spiritual. Do not promote yourself. Just tell them about the goodness of the Lord. It's all right to share a testimony about when you were in weakness, how the Lord came and strengthened you, all right? And so don't put yourself on display and confuse matters and bring in complexities, but just keep it simple to tell them that the Lord can bring you out of this if you let the Lord do that for you. We can go into the word and we can pray, and if you just trust the Lord and hold out and wait on the Lord to do what the Lord will do, he will come through for you. He will deliver you. I know, because he delivered me. Don't put self on display. And that's one of the problems we have with people witnessing. They won't go to witness because they don't think they sound smart enough. They don't know how to quote enough scriptures, and they're so worried about how they will come off that they don't allow the Lord to come off at all. And so when you quit making it about you, it becomes all about Jesus. And when it becomes all about Jesus, that's when we see souls being saved. That's when we see souls repenting and being baptized in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. Now listen, high vocabulary is wonderful. It helps people acquire a better vocabulary for themselves. It forces people to go and look up words. That's why one of the Sunday school books that we had to quit using, because they were forcing a doctrine that is not of the Bible. And so we quit using them. But one thing I really liked about that Sunday school book, that I don't care which lesson it was, I always read at least one word in the lesson that I'd never seen before. And it forced me to go and look that word up. And I was very pleased that now I have a new word in my vocabulary. Not just a new word, but I know what that word means. All right. And so there's nothing wrong at all with high vocabulary. I love it when I'm able to listen to various preachers. Bishop Noel Jones, for instance, he has a very high vocabulary, and he says some things that even our presiding bishop said, I'm going to have to go look that word up. And so I like it, but it's natural with him. But when we make it about our vocabulary, make it about our intellect, make it about what we are able to do, make it about the form and fashion of how we produce a message, then we're not getting the power of the word of God across. And that's what we want to refrain from. So if the purpose is to display vocabulary and psychology as the focal point in order to solicit a desired response, it becomes counterproductive and even anathema to the gospel. So understand, again, it's like the whiteout we talked about on Sunday. If we make vocabulary, intellect, psychology the focal point of the message of Jesus Christ, it's as good as putting white out on the scripture that we read to them, because now that scripture has no meaning. It has no purpose. It was just read in order to say we're in church and we read this scripture for the church purpose. But now let me move that aside and let me move myself in. Let's make sure that that is not the case. And, you know, I have seen a lot of tactics and methods over the years, and they appear to work, you know, and a lot of people will tell you, you must be wise to win souls. So they take that and turn it into a doctrine. And by turning it into a doctrine, what they do is they incorporate whatever they want to incorporate under the umbrella of you must be wise to win souls. Are you winning souls or are you winning people? I want souls. I want souls to be saved. I don't want people who are just fixated on the methodology, the tactics that are in use, that are in play. I want them sold out to Jesus, all right? And they have to bear with me for the time that I do bring forth the word. But if I bring forth that word the way I'm supposed to, some of it is going to stick with the souls, and they're going to go away from here and live better than they lived when they came in here, all right? That's the objective. The objective in preaching, the objective in witnessing, the objective in counseling, talking with people who seek you out is to make sure they know more about Jesus than they did before they approached you, before they heard you, all right? Not going away knowing more about you and being so impressed in you that now they have forgotten about the commitment to Jesus, all right? If you'll notice, we don't see any response to Jesus's preaching except occasional repentance or devils speaking out. And so when you read the Bible and the Gospels, you'll see people say, I've never heard anybody speak with the authority that this man speaks with. We saw that at least once, all right? We saw on a couple of occasions where the devils cried out. One of them was like, have you come to torment us before the time? And on another occasion, I forget what the devil on that occasion said. We had another one where the devil just told Jesus straight up, we are legion, all right? And ask him to, you know, the devils knew he was going to cast them out. He said, would you allow us to go into the swine? And so that's what Jesus did. He cast them out of the individual and allowed those devils to go into the swine. And if anybody knows what happened to the swine because of the devils going into them, they ran off of a cliff and went into the sea and drowned themselves. What do you think the devil intends for you? He certainly don't intend any good for you. So why do the things that the enemy is suggesting to your flesh to do? Because he just wants to take you off the cliff just like he did the swine. He said to God, my purpose is to, no, he told God, God said, where art thou, Satan? Where have you come from? Going up and down in the earth, going to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. And then the Bible says he is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And so I don't know why we would want to hold on to the things of the world in this flesh, because holding on to the things of the world in this flesh is going to get the same result as those swine who went off of the cliff. So again, Jesus spoke for the soul response and not a mouth response. Now, we realize that everything is not documented in the Bible. I'm sure many, many things took place that we don't see in the Bible. And the writers wrote about Jesus, the primary things. But I've got a feeling if people were jumping around and shouting hallelujah and breaking into dances and stuff while he was preaching, we probably would see something about that. I mean, he preached to thousands and thousands of people, and we don't see any writer talking about a mouth response, an emotional response, all right? The only emotional response we see is when the woman came and she cried so that her tears were used to wash his feet, and she used her hair to dry his feet, and she had a repentful spirit, a broken and a contrite, broken heart and contrite spirit, all right? That's the kind of outpouring, that's the kind of emotional response we need to have toward the Lord, all right? To where this is a sign where this woman is saying, I'm totally committed now. I'm totally turned away from where I was, and I'm totally committed to what your word is saying. We see another response where a woman with the issue of blood forced her way through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. She wanted what only God could give, all right? These are good responses. But look, too many of us, we get wrapped up in our own thoughts of what we think is a good message or a good witness or a good counsel, and we're looking for a physical, emotional response to us. And if that's what we're looking for, that's all we're going to get, and that's all they're going to get. We got to keep this thing simple. And keep it about Jesus, all right? Keep it about salvation. Keep it about God will heal you. God will save you. God will bring you through. And let's not make it about us, because that's when complexities come in, all right? If seeking for physical response, then physical is all you get. When looking for spiritual response, you will speak God's word only. And so that's the thing. When all you want is for souls to be saved, for souls to be delivered, for souls to be rejuvenated, for souls to be excited about God, it will keep you in the word of God. It will keep you on track, just giving somebody what God is telling you to give them. And sometimes people are embarrassed to give their testimony. Now look, some things don't need to be shared behind the podium with everybody, because there's a lot of folk out there that can't handle that specific testimony. But there'll come a time when you're talking to somebody one-on-one that they are dealing with the same nature of the flesh that you dealt with once upon a time, and the Lord may touch your heart to speak to them about when you were weak and without the Lord and the things you did, but how God came in and pulled you out of that and brought salvation to you. Don't be embarrassed to do that, because this ain't about you. It's about that soul. It's about the Lord being able to save that soul. And when we make it about us, everything becomes complex. So then when we refuse to give that testimony, we choose something else. And that's when we bring in complexities, and it ain't simple no more. We need to make it simple and bring that out. I remember sharing with you all testimony of I was brand new in the Lord, barely 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, whatever. And the Lord told me to go. And when he told me to go, I went. And the young man was crying and everything. Now, look, y'all, I was raised by Sergeant First Class Magnus. And we didn't do no hugging, and we didn't kiss each other on the cheek. We didn't tell each other we loved one another. We shook hands when I left the house to go to school and whatever and come back. I'd say, hello, Mr. Magnus. And he would say, hello, Mr. Magnus. That's the kind of relationship we had. Men didn't express niceties to one another. Men did not tell men, I love you, even though he knew I loved him and I knew he loved me. We just didn't express that. So here it is. I'm a brand new babe in Christ. And the Lord has me dealing with this young man that got tears pouring down and everything. And the Lord put it on my heart to tell that man that I loved him, that young man that I loved him. Y'all, let me tell you something. It was hard. Now, I was obedient, but it's like, oh, no, I don't tell men I love them. That just sounds kind of weird, you know. But you have to be obedient because you don't know what it produces. You don't know what it will bring about in that individual. Just be obedient to God. And this young man eventually went from all the pouring down tears, looked like the world was collapsing around him, to the next time I saw him, a smile on his face and acting like he never had a tear in his eye. All right? We've got to do what the Lord says. I did not want to tell him, I love you. That was so weird for me. It was the first time that I had ever told a male that I loved them. All right. And so eventually after I'd been saved a couple of years talking to my dad on the phone, I told him I loved him on the phone. And he said, and hung up the phone. And that's just the nature of how he was. And that's what was in me. There was no real response to such a phrase of I love you, you know. And so I'm just bringing out that was difficult for me to do. And the Lord helped me to be obedient to him, gave me the power to be obedient to him. We can't make this thing about us, all right? And how we are looking and so concerned about how we're coming off. We need to be more concerned about how we are relaying Jesus Christ, how we are showing forth the power of Jesus Christ to someone, all right? Now, the writer said, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, take into account that the man writing this is Paul, formerly Saul, a Pharisee, highly educated. He gave a portion of his resume in the writings, and his resume showed that he basically sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and he was a highly educated man, and there's a whole lot he could pontificate upon, but he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I didn't go into all of these lecture type deals. I didn't go into things to sound smart. I determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He didn't go back, man, dude, when I was a Pharisee before, we did this and that. He didn't regale people with that. He just said, I was determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. But we're so worried about looking dumb. We're so worried about not coming off the way we want to come off. We don't want them going to talk to somebody and saying, boy, they just real simple. Yeah, I would prefer for you to talk about how simple I was as long as you got the goodness of the Lord out of it. As long as you felt the power of God and that you got more understanding and knowledge of what the word says. All right, let's go to Acts 2, verses 36 through 42. Acts 2, verses 36 through 42. This is Peter preaching, and the reason why I want to bring this in is to show how simple it is or can be. All right. Peter says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, people of God, understand, he kept it very simple here, letting them know who Jesus is. Quit worrying about letting people know who you are. That ain't the deal. The deal is who Jesus is. Peter got up and preached, and he kept the entire message on Jesus and who he is. All right? Then he got a response from that message, And the response is the response all of us should want if we're going to witness, if we're going to preach, if we're going to teach, if we're going to counsel. We should all want the same response. What can I do to be better? What can I do to be saved? What can I do to get closer to God? What can I do to get over this sinful nature that I have? That's the response that we should want. Not just, oh, hallelujah. Oh, he preaches so good, and people shouting and throwing off the hair pieces and all that kind of stuff. That looks good. I think every preacher at some point would love to see people break out in praise from their preaching. But if they do, it should be from the fact that we have preached a message of deliverance, not a psychological wonder that we have reached into people's minds, reached into their intellect, reached into their emotions, and pulled things up to elicit a response from those things rather than reaching into their soul and getting a desired response that is a spiritual response, all right? So what happened here, he just preached a simple message. Now understand, Peter was not educated. At some point in the scripture, there were people who said that Peter, and I forget who was with him, said they were unlearned men, but they recognized that they had been with Jesus. I wonder if anybody can recognize that we've been with Jesus, all right? Regardless of our educational level, whether it be low, medium, or high, can they recognize that we have been with Jesus, all right? What is it that they saw that they knew that they had been with Jesus? So Peter didn't have Paul's ability of vocabulary and of education that Paul had, but what he had was the ability to know who Jesus was because he had walked with him for 3 years, and he was able, now filled with the Holy Ghost, he was able to tell them exactly who the Lord was. And here Paul was having great education on a high level, and he too kept it simple just to let you know who Jesus was. Amen. However, his intellect did come into play when you look at Romans, where he's breaking down things about the law and how it relates to us now and how it's all about Jesus. And Hebrew, if Paul really did write Hebrews, look how great Hebrews is explaining who Jesus is, that in time past that God spoke to us through the prophets, but now has spoken to us through his son, Jesus Christ, who is the express image. So he made things very simple. There was no complexities in those things, even though he had the intellect to make it very complex, all right? So it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. I wonder if we can keep it simple enough to where we can cause people to be pricked in their heart to want to know how to live for the Lord. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right? That's not complex at all. That's real simple. But yet we look around and we see the different religious bodies that tell you all of these pomp and circumstance things that you got to do, all these educational things that you got to do to be saved. Why make things so complex when it is simple as what Peter said? All right? Paul kept it that simple. As educated as he was, he kept it that simple. It's all about, remember when Paul met the disciples in Acts 19? And he simply asked them, once he understood that they were followers of Christ, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we haven't heard that there was a Holy Ghost. And then he backed up and said, well, then how were you baptized? And they told him. And he said, and then went on to proceed to let them know, you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost. So what happened? Because he kept it simple. Only about six verses passed, very short verses passed, before we see them being baptized in the name of Jesus and being filled with the Holy Ghost. As simple as that is, Why have we made things so complex? Why do we muddy up the waters for people? Well, we gave reasons early on as to why people do that, because they don't know what salvation is. They don't know how to tell people to be saved, or they do understand that there's a simplicity of Christ Jesus, but they don't want that simplicity, because if they make it complex, they make it about them, and they bring hearers and believers to them that they can keep, as opposed to delivering them unto the Lord. Remember, Paul said, I espoused you unto the Lord, all right? I connected you to God. This isn't about me as a preacher connecting you to me. Now, you and I are going to be connected because I love you and you love me. The only relationship we have is pastor and saint, okay? And as a saint, you are supposed to honor me as pastor, but I am not to rob the glory that belongs to God. I am not to make you be connected to me. I am to connect you to Jesus Christ. And my purpose here is to basically help you understand things that you did not understand, to put an exclamation mark on things you do understand, wrap up things that you understood things here and you understood things here and they have not quite met together yet. So my job is to help you bring it together, but my job is not to cause you to serve me, but to cause you to know who Jesus is, to serve him. All right. Now, verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Y'all see how simple that was? He preached a simple message. He was asked a question and gave a simple answer, and 3,000 souls were saved. I tell you what, I want to pull out any complexities that's there to be able to baptize 3,000 souls. All right? I haven't baptized 3,000 souls in my entire saved life. And Peter did it in one day. He just cut through all of the extra stuff and got down to the nitty gritty after being filled with the Holy Ghost. And we see 3,000 souls baptized in the name of Jesus. We see Peter preaching a simple message to get to salvation. We see a question answered with simplicity. Repent and be baptized. Even Paul in Acts 19 did so without complexity. All right, I'm going to stop here, saints of God, because the other scriptures we covered on Sunday, I just kind of wanted to get out some of the bullet points and some of the scriptures that we did not read on Sunday. But saints of God, let's keep it simple. If you are going to be someone that's going to witness to the goodness of Jesus Christ, witness to people in simplicities, don't add a whole bunch of stuff to what you're saying that God didn't give you. Ask God, you know, even when someone is talking to you, asking you a question, God can allow you to hear what they're saying even while you're asking God, what should the response be? How do you want me to handle this situation, Lord? What do you want me to say? And trust me, God will give it to you, but you got to trust God that what he gave you is enough. Don't add to it. Just give what the Lord gave you. Amen. And that's why sometimes you'll see a preacher at altar call and they know that the individual in front of them wants to hear something from the Lord, and they don't want to give them anything that didn't come from the Lord. And so you'll hear that preacher, he'll begin to talk to God. He will even be speaking in tongue. He's waiting for the Lord to speak to him so that he can speak to the individual. Because if the Lord don't speak to him, he can't speak to the individual. The last time I went somewhere to preach, a bunch of souls came to the altar. And whenever I go somewhere, I'm more like an evangelist. And there's kind of a little different spirit on me when I go to those places. So anyway, had prayed for all those who came to the altar, and then someone let me know there's a young man out there. They told me what he was wearing, said he really wants you to pray for him, because I went to the ones on the altar that I felt the Lord was giving me something for, and they were pouring out and crying unto the Lord, and they had real needs, and so we were praying concerning those. So when they told me about this young man, I started praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to say to him? Can I tell y'all something? I didn't get anything. And so I made sure that I let the person that was in charge know that, hey, somebody said that there's a young man that wants prayer. Can we go here? Because I don't want to leave anybody without prayer. And when the young man came up, I told him straight up, I said, young man, I started praying and asking the Lord to give me something for you. And I said, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't hear anything. I'm not getting anything. I said, but here's what he wants everybody to do, to be saved, to be baptized in his mighty name of Jesus and be filled with his spirit. And I said, are you ready to be saved? He said, yes, I am. I said, do you want to be baptized? He said, yes, I do. So he prepared himself for baptism. Y'all, we just got to keep it simple, okay? The Lord is always speaking, but maybe he doesn't give me something specifically for you that's on your mind, but there is always something for you, for your deliverance and for your salvation. And if we as God's people just keep it where God, what he's telling us, and that is keeping it simple, if we do that, then we will witness souls being saved. We witness souls staying in the house of God, being faithful, amen? And we will witness growth like we've never witnessed before, all right? So, saints of God, let's keep it simple. We do have prayer on Friday night at 7 o'clock on the phone conference call. And would love to hear all your beautiful voices on there. Amen. We've been hearing some voices on there that we're really so glad about. Been hearing Sister Day on the call, and we heard Deacon Spirit here a little while back, and then our faithful that are on the phone call, because when I don't hear our faithful, I'm really listening like, oh, there she is, there he is. And so let's be on the prayer call, and then on Sunday morning, let's be here at 11 o'clock. Let's not do one of these things where we wait, we know the speaker ain't gonna get up until such a time, and I'll be there when he or she is 5 minutes into the message. Let's be here at 11 o'clock, saints of God. All right, saints, love you. God bless you. Saints, let's keep it simple and go out here and witness a simple message of salvation so that souls can be saved. God bless. Love you.